Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's.
With today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
Right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, as promised, it is time to tee it up at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, here in hour number two. We are so ready for some picks and predictions from Doral. Delighted to have back with us from PGA Tour Radio. That, of course, is Bill Rosinski. Always enjoy listening to him. Of course, last weekend on the Honda Classic, it did not disappoint. And typically, for all of you that listen to our program, usually we have Bill on and we're talking college football, but Bill is the ultimate ball striker, and he always adds 20-plus yards to our drives, so we wanted to have him back tonight. We love your voice. We certainly love your perspective. How are you? Good evening, Bill.
Alyssa, you're so kind. you read it just like I wrote it. But thank you. Everything's good. I have been blessed over the years. This is my seventh year working for the PGA Tour, doing golf on the radio. If you would have told me 10 years ago that I'd be doing golf on the radio, I'd say you're crazy. This is our fifth year doing the Open Championship, the British Open, on ESPN Radio. So that's opened some doors for me there. Of course, I do some college football. And doing some college hoops, too. I did the Iowa-Indiana game the other night, which was pretty exciting, and the ACC tournament next week. So it's I like to do a lot of different things, and golf is certainly at the top of the list.
Well, you've certainly shown your versatility you're the former play-by-play announcer for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, how about those Panthers?
How about them? Yeah.
Came up a little shy in the Super Bowl, but that was they had quite a season. No one was expecting that. I live in Charlotte, so they lost Kelvin Benjamin at the beginning of the season, their top wide receiver. No one gave that team a chance, but they got a great defense. They got a young quarterback who's playing well, and we'll see if they can validate what they did this year with another run next year.
PGA Tour Radio, Bill Rosinski is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to hear from you. We are interactive. Join in on the conversation at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. And before we highlight Doral, we wanted to get your takeaways on last weekend's Honda Classic and that huge win by Adam Scott. A fantastic finish and a one-shot victory.
Yeah, well, you kind of saw this coming. I was actually in Los Angeles the week before at Northern Trust, and I was on the golf course, and I was with Adam. I think the key for him, he's always been a great ball striker. Everybody wondered about his adjustment from the long putter, which has now been banned, to the shorter putter. And what we've seen from Adam Scott over the last, oh my goodness, 3-4 weeks here, his lag putting, his long putting, has been absolutely outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it proved big dividends on the weekend at Honda, because anytime you might have a 50-footer, he never made it, but he got it to within a couple of feet and tapped it in. And I think I think that's the big thing for Adam Scott. He had a chance to win in Los Angeles, but Bubba was one shot better. And last week it really came down, Alyssa, to he and Sergio Garcia. We were kind of wondering going into Sunday whether somebody in that chase pack that was three, four shots back might shoot a good number and put some pressure on the last group, but that didn't happen. It was basically Adam Scott and Sergio down the stud on the back nine on Sunday, and Scott ended up winning by a shot.
You know, Bill, you mentioned Adam Scott returns to the conventional short putter following the ban on anchoring putters. Is he a different player without his anchored putter?
Well, I was talking to a friend of his who knows him well from Australia, and he said the long putter, there was a confidence that he had. Now, if you look at his numbers, strokes gained putting is an interesting number the tour likes to use.
Right.
Throws in a number of factors, and basically it tries to explain your success or lack of on the greens. And his strokes gained putting numbers with the long putter were not great. You know, ranked 130th or 85th or something like that. And I think last week he might have been in the top 10 in strokes gained putting. I just think it's maybe more between the ears with him now that he has more confidence. The long putter at least was something he could rely on, that he felt comfortable with. And obviously he had to make the change, and I think now that he's adjusted to this this shorter putter, I mean, he's going to be, I would throw his name out there at any major this year, including Augusta.
PGA Tour Radio's Bill Rozinski is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We're talking about Adam Scott, the big win last weekend at the Honda Classic. Don't you think how remarkable it is that he was able to reacclimate to that short putter? I mean, you talk about an amazing transition, and he certainly silenced any doubters.
Yeah, it's all about practice, and then it's about success. If he was three putting from 50 feet two or three times, then you might think to yourself, "Well, you know, this isn't working out." But it's a process, and you know we'll see how he plays in the tournament this week. But when you're in contention in Los Angeles, which is an old school golf course at Riviera, and then you go to Honda, which is a course that's it's difficult because of the length. There's only two par fives. Par threes are dangerous when you can shoot under par there. Those are two different but difficult golf courses. And so his success on those greens should bode well for him because obviously, you know, he was playing Poana on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on Bermuda now in Florida. So he seemed to adjust well to it last week.
Well, his success on the greens is also a great reminder of why he was ranked the number one player in the world 2 years ago. And here we are, Bill. The Masters is about a month away. So how do you see him, you know, at this point?
Well, I would rank him, if I was going to pick people with a chance to win at Augusta, you would start with Bubba, who's won this year and who has won twice at Augusta. Mickelson's game is, he's excited about his game. He's got a new swing coach. He's been in the hunt. In fact, he had a chance at Pebble, you know, to force a playoff and missed a makeable birdie putt at the last hole to lose there. Didn't play well at Honda. We made the cup. I think he was three over last week for the tournament. But I would put Phil in there, and obviously Rory and Ricky, and you go down the list. And Jordan Spieth, of course, the defending champ. But I'd throw Adam Scott right there. And at Augusta, with the way they have the greens, I mean, normally on the PGA Tour, they're like, it's like 11 on the stimp meter. You know, at Augusta, it might be 13 in some spots. So
wow.
You really got to be able to putt well and put yourself in position to attack some of the holes that are birdieable. So, I would put Adam Scott, and obviously he's been there before, so there's a confidence level for him. There's a number of guys who are playing well right now on the tour. I would give a chance once we get to green jacket time.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those other guys that are in the hunt and are attacking the course. But one of the guys that fell short, of course, is Sergio Garcia. How would you describe his play at this point in the season? I mean, obviously, that was bittersweet. He was in contention all week long, and then to come up short once again. We've seen this. It's been a repetitive theme throughout his career, Bill.
Yeah, we were having a discussion last week on the air about, is he still the best player to not win a major? I think that mantle goes to Ricky Fowler now. Obviously, Ricky's got a Players Championship in his belt, and he's won at Wells Fargo, which is a very good golf course here in Charlotte, where they play, you know, at Quail Hollow. But Sergio is at a point, I think he's at a point in his life where he's kind of accepted that, you know, maybe the high expectations of winning multiple majors is not going to happen. I still think he's got a great opportunity to win a few. And, you know, when you think about his play last week, it was, you know, he hit some shots on the back nine on Sunday. I think it was at 11. He was in the fairway, missed the green right, ends up making bogey. And then he was still in it as they went to the bear trap, which is 15, 16, 17, par 3, par 4, par 3 at Honda. And he's in the fairway at 16. You remember Adam Scott is way left there. Scott ends up making par. Sergio bogeys the hole from the middle of the fairway. Didn't hit a good iron. So he kind of got sloppy down the stretch. And the other thing, Alyssa, with him is his putter. I mean, he's never been a great putter. And if he's going to win a major, he's going to have that flat stick going. So, you know, he certainly has the potential, and he's been there. He had a chance last week, got down the stretch to win a golf tournament and couldn't do it. But I wouldn't, you know, and he lost in a playoff last year at the Players when Ricky Fowler won. So he's got game. It's just a matter of, well, there's so many other young, you know, good young players out there who are finding ways to win majors, making it tough on them.
Bill Rozinski of PGA Tour Radio is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Much more to get into right here at YSR.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our conversation with Bill Rozinski of PGA Tour Radio. Well, there's the tremendous good young players. We're going to hit on those. But why do you think that Sergio has struggled so much throughout his career to close out? I mean, you're talking about another missed opportunity. Is it mental?
I would guess. You know, it's, why don't teams close out? I'll tell you, talking, Fran McCaffrey's head coach at Iowa basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Here was a team ranked, you know, third or fourth in the country, who's going to be a one seed. Now they can't win a game to save their lives. He was talking to us before the game against Indiana on Tuesday, and he says, we can't finish. He says, you know, their game against, they lost a game to Ohio State, got outscored 12-2 down the stretch. And then at home, they took the lead late on Tuesday night, couldn't finish. Went like 0-9, their last, and I think that relates to a lot of sports. You get teams that, you know, they take control of something and then they can't figure out a way to win. And the same is true in golf. It's so mental because all these guys can stripe it off the tee. They're good iron players. Normally on the PGA Tour, if it's a regular event, the guy that's chipping and putting the best is going to win the golf tournament because he's making birdies. At major championships, it's a little more difficult. You have to hit it a little bit straighter. You can't make a lot of mistakes off the tee. Can't make errant shots from your irons because the penalties are more severe. For Sergio, you know, when it happens year after year, tournament after tournament, I would think it would be mental. I don't know if he'd say it, but he's got the game to win. He has won. And then I think, Alyssa, as you get older, and then you see Jordan Spieth do what he did last year. You got Jason Day, who's playing
right. Spectacular
golf. You got Rory. You got all these guys, and Ricky Fowler. And all of a sudden, you know, Sergio's in his 30s and looking back at these young guys going, you know, how many more opportunities am I going to have? So he's got the game to win. We'll see if he can do it sometime soon.
Well, it's an exciting time in the sport. So many, as you were just highlighting, so many of the young players, but how much does golf miss Tiger Woods? I mean, he's teasing us a bit with that that golf simulator, that shot from last week, right?
Yeah, well, he's still the straw that stirs the drink, obviously. There's Tiger, and then there's everybody else. I think there were a great crowd in Los Angeles. I don't know what the TV numbers have been for these tournaments. I really don't pay a lot of attention, but I know at Honda last week they had great crowds. And at Los Angeles, my goodness, it was very busy Thursday, Friday, on the weekend. I'd never seen it like that. You know, there were guys out scouting, you know, trying to buy tickets outside the golf course, trying to get in. So I think there's a lot of popularity because of the guys we've just mentioned here, McIlroy and Fowler and Jordan Spieth, and there's a new group coming up. If and when Tiger comes back, there'll be a different look at him because he is older now. still trying to chase down Nicklaus for those majors, and I seriously doubt he's going to catch Jack. I think he's got 14, Jack's got 18, right. So I don't think he's going to get the, you know, if he can get one or two, that would be stunning based on the injuries he suffered in the back. I mean, three back surgeries already in the span of a couple years. It's pretty sad, but as you said, you know, he'll send out a video of him swinging a golf club, or he'll make some comment on Twitter, and people respond. People are still interested in Tiger Woods. He's been one of these guys, I think, Alyssa, either you really like him or you don't like him and you root against him. But either or, you're out there watching him. And golf doesn't have anybody like that at this time, but they have enough good young guys who are winning major championships. And that's the thing. Golf, for all you can say about, you know, playoffs and this tournament, that tournament, golf still revolves when we put people on pedestals around major championships. And that's why it's good that Rory's got a few. Adam Scott has won the Masters. Adam Scott was in the hunt at the British Open a few years ago. I was with him when he went, ugh, it was just bogey the last four holes. I couldn't believe what happened. But you've got these young guys. Jordan Spieth, obviously, last year had a chance to win the Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to win the Grand Slam. And so I think that has, and there's younger people, I think, Alyssa, when you're out on the golf course and you're following Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, there's a lot of young people getting involved in this and rooting these guys on. So I think that has helped diminish the impact of Tiger not being out there.
You were listening to the voice of PGA Tour Radio's Bill Rozinski tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Just a few more minutes with him. And so let's go inside the ropes. I mean, what are you hearing in terms of what is the timetable, the forecast on Tiger Woods' return? Any idea?
No, and he's pretty secretive. I mean, most people, the reason this came out initially about him swinging a club was somebody tweeted out that Tiger still has to use, he can't even get out of a car. You know, he's got to use the buttons on the side to raise and lower the seat to get him out of a car. And as people heard this and, you know, they knew what he was doing. So, you know, eventually he went out and, you know, posted that video. And then I think somebody else, Alex Maselli, wrote an article that Tiger's actually hit driver a few times. And so that came in very secretive. It's very hard to find. There's a few people in his inner circle who know what's going on, who might tell us. And one might be Nota Begay. And I can't think of a writer right now who might know what's going on with Tiger. So really, it's pretty secretive. He talked to the Golf Channel, I think, yesterday, and or sometime earlier this week, and said that, I mean, he doesn't know. He's saying he doesn't know, so how would any of us know? If he doesn't know, then he's hoping it's sooner than later, but there's no timetable.
I thought what was interesting, too, is Phil Mickelson's comments this past week that he said that none of the big four, these young players that are so dynamic, are even close to Tiger Woods in his prime. I mean, he was very complimentary to the young players, but what he said, Tiger Woods, what he's achieved, is truly mind-boggling.
Well, yeah, but let's, you know, it took Tiger a while to win his first major. And let's give these guys an opportunity. Let's see what kind of records they have in another 5 or 6 years, like Jordan Spieth, like Rory McIlroy, and see if these guys can get on a run. I understand what Phil's saying, but, I mean, you're talking about a bigger span here, a bigger, you know, a list of major golf tournaments played in and won. So let's give these younger guys an opportunity. And, you know, my thing when talking about Tiger, Alyssa, has always been, you know, Jack and Arnie were great when Arnie was kind of, you know, a little bit old. Arnie's 10 years older than Jack. So, you know, it was Jack and Arnie. And then Jack had Watson, and he had Trevino, and he had Johnny Miller. And then you go, you think about, okay, who's Tiger beating down the stretch in a major? Bob May? You know, Sergio, well, back in 99 when he won the PGA, and Sergio was like Sergio's first golf tournament. He and Lefty have had some interesting duels over the years, but, you know, you can't think of, Tiger never had, to me, the other guy. You know, whatever hat you want to put at him, the white hat or the black hat, because people loved Arnie, hated Jack. So there was that big rivalry there. I don't think Tiger ever had that guy. Now, maybe you can think of somebody. I've never come up with anybody who I can think of and say, you know, I remember that tournament, what a great showdown between these two guys. I mean, people still talk about Nicklaus and Watson. at the British Open in 77, the duel in the sun. Mm-hmm. People still talk about that because they were, you know, they were arch rivals. They were, you know, both at the top of their games. And, you know, unfortunately, I think Tiger never had that guy.
Thanks so much, Bill. That, of course, was Bill Rosinski of PGA Tour Radio. Stick around. We're getting ready for some NBA news and notes. We're going to zero in on the Sacramento Kings. Assistant coach of the Sacramento Kings, Nancy Lieberman, will be with us next.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As promised, it is time for some NBA news and notes. We're going to shine the spotlight on the Sacramento Kings, who are in the midst of a four-game, a very long road trip. They're going to face the San Antonio Spurs on Saturday night at the AT&T Center, 7:30 Central Time tip. The Kings are currently 10th in the Western Conference standings with the goal of making the playoffs. Delighted to have back with us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, Sacramento Kings assistant coach and basketball Hall of Famer, the great Nancy Lieberman. Good evening, Nancy.
Hi, Alyssa. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to the Lone Star State.
Thank you. Happy to be back home. It's always great to see all my friends and just to be on the North Dallas Tollway.
You bet. Okay, so let's talk about your Sacramento Kings. Game 61 on Saturday night in San Antonio. Let's just kind of step back. I mean, how would you summarize how this season has played out to this point?
It's been a little up and down for us. I mean, we certainly have the talent. 61 games in, and I can still tell you that we're vying for the eighth spot in the playoffs. I mean, we're right there with Utah and with Houston. And what I can tell you is we're going to fight to the end, and we have the talent to do it.
Of course, you guys are 10th right now, as I mentioned, in the Western Conference standing. How do you guys go about that, closing the gap and make up ground?
Well, the way you do it is with defense. And I think we're maybe three, four games in the loss column. I mean, if you win, you know, 6 out of 8 or, you know, 7 out of 11 or 12 games, you're right there in the thick of the few teams that are ahead of us. So we have to get it done with defense. And, you know, DeMarcus Cousins has been, you know, playing remarkable for us. If we take good shots, you know, good offense will lead to good defense. And we think that's an area that, you know, we have to continue to get better at.
The assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, Nancy Lieberman, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The Kings are in a tough road stretch right now that started in Memphis. They were in Dallas on Thursday night, of course, Saturday night in San Antonio, and on Monday in New Orleans. And you were talking about just some of the top priorities moving forward, defensive intensity. Take us inside that locker room. Is that message, is it being received by the team in terms of just playing with a sense of urgency on both ends of the floor?
Well, we have veterans. You know, we have guys in our locker room that have championship rings. You know, our coaching staff has been deep into the playoffs with George Karl, not only with Denver, but, you know, him with Seattle. So, you know, we have a good understanding of what we have to do, and it's about execution and mentally and physically taking it to another level. It's the little things. It's the getting, you know, 3 consecutive stops, boxing out. Rebounding becomes more valuable in the fourth quarter when it's a tight game and somebody gets, you know, 1 or 2, you know, offensive rebounds or they get some of those 50-50 balls.
Is it kind of a back-to-basics approach in order of, you know, in terms of sweating the small stuff?
No, there's nothing like the details. You know, we have to master the things that take no talent, and that means we have to be able to be ready to play. You know, we all, KYP, know your personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Know who you're guarding and, you know, make sure that you're locked into your assignment. So players determine, you know, probability and outcome. We're depending on our key guys to lead us.
And one of those key guys you had just mentioned a moment ago, the big fella, DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, he attracts, obviously, a lot of attention. He's been a part of this franchise, and I'm sure it's been difficult because it's struggled with having success. He is the heart of the Kings. I mean, where would they be without him?
Well, we wouldn't be fighting for the playoffs without DeMarcus. I mean, you know, sometimes he goes unappreciated, not by us, but by people around us, because he's one of our best passers. We played the game in Memphis, and in the second half he picked up 3 charges, and he had 5 fouls on him. So, you know, he plays his heart out, and, you know, he's unstoppable, you know, unstoppable around the basket. Rondo, his leadership, Darren Collison is playing great basketball for us. Bellinelli, another important player on our team, you know, he didn't score in the first half, and, you know, his professionalism, he steps out in the second half, and he has 17 points. We need the energy from the guys coming off the bench, and we're also overcoming some injuries. You know, Rudy Gay has been out with a shoulder. Rondo's had a bad hand and ankle. Seth Curry hurt his ankle in the game. He had 19 points the other night.
Nancy Lieberman, the assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, as we talk some more about DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, one of the things I love about him and watching him is just the passion that he brings on the court. I mean, he's very emotional about the game of basketball, and that's got to obviously inspire a lot of those players that you had just highlighted.
DeMarcus is emotional because he wants to win so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the first guy at practice every morning. He's on the first bus to the arena every day. He takes his, you know, workout shooting sessions seriously. I mean, he comes out ready to compete. And he wants to win so badly that it is emotional for him. And he's growing. I mean, day by day he's growing and how to handle. You know, remember when Shaq used to just have the crud beat out of him every day because he was so big?
Right.
Well, DeMarcus gets hammered every single game, and you know, maybe it's because he's so big and strong, and it doesn't look like he's being hammered as bad as he is. But you know, he's learning to, you know, control his emotions, and he's only 25, and he's showing tremendous growth.
DeMarcus Cousins garners a ton of attention. So moving forward, I mean, Nancy, who do you look to step up during this critical final stretch to provide DeMarcus some support?
Well, we're getting a lot of help at that second big position. It's kind of a two-headed center between Willie Cauley-Stein, a tremendous defender, has great length. You can switch him out 1 through 5. And Dallas's own Quincy Acey. I mean, Q is just energy plus. He just gives us such a spark, and he works so hard on the defensive end. He's really very important and very valuable to us right now, and we just love having him out there on both the offensive and defensive end. And then, you know, we've got shooters. We run a slow offense. We've got guys who've got to knock down, you know, the outside shot. Omri Caspi has played well for us this year. Darren Collison has had a great stretch. Like I said, we got to get a few guys healthy. Rudy Gay is one of our best players and has been for a long time, and he's got a shoulder issue. And Rudy's a professional scorer and one of the coolest guys that I know. We really need him back.
What has it been like for you your first year with the Sacramento Kings, Nancy, as the assistant coach? What's it been like to work with Rajon Rondo?
It's been a joy. He's absolutely brilliant. He's has an IQ that's off the charts. He, like all our players, you can't keep Rondo out of the gym. Just, you know, I'll get a text at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, "Coach, did you look at this? What did you think of this play?" And I always text back, I'll tell you at 7 in the morning. And we just laugh. I mean, he's
right.
We get on the plane, and he's the first guy that we load up his computer with game film and his recall, recollection. I'll give you an example. We were, and this is the trust between him and George, while the coaching staff was in a timeout, he sat in George's seat the other night against Memphis, and he took the board and he diagrammed a play point loop that they used to run in Boston. You know, George has so much respect for him. It's not like, get out of my seat. It's like, okay, this is good. You know, when your guys are that locked in and want to win so bad, I mean, that's the blessing in this.
Basketball Hall of Famer, the assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, has been joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. That, of course, is the great Nancy Lieberman. Good luck against San Antonio on Saturday night, and we look so forward to our next conversation. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. We appreciate everything and all your success.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Much more straight ahead tonight right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Up next is Andy Pondillo with our preview of the 2016 MLB season.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell, the Big E.
Welcome back to hour number two at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Before we continue our conversation, our MLB news and notes and 2016 preview with Andy Pondillo, we'd love to hear from you. Email the show at Alyssa@YahooSportsRadio.com. And also, you can tweet us at eRadioSports. Okay, so we got some more teams and some more projections we're going to get into. But talk to me about as far as what are your MVP predictions, Andy?
Well, these are always fun to do at the beginning of
Absolutely,
the year because
yeah.
things tend to happen when you predict someone to be an MVP candidate. You know, I really like...
Come on, bring it.
In an even year, I like Buster Posey with the Giants winning another MVP award. Now, everyone's going to go Bryce Harper again. You're going to think Paul Goldschmidt because the Diamondbacks are starting to rise. Andrew McCutcheon. You know, the common picks are going to be there. It's an even year. The Giants look as good as any team in baseball, in my opinion, with the revisions they've made to their starting rotation, the depth in their batting order, the health. Hopefully coming back for that lineup if Hunter Pence can stay healthy. I like Posey a lot this year. What he does with the pitching staff, the ability to play first base, the ability to lead a team offensively. There is no other player quite like him in Major League Baseball. I really like what the Giants do this year. And when I think MVP, when I think Cy Young, I always think of what team is set to break out this season that has has players around them. Even though it's called the most valuable player, it's hard to win that award if you don't have people around you. Buster Posey is an excellent situation when we talk about the National League. And when we come to the American League, this one's a little bit tougher for me because you start going through these teams and thinking about, you know, a Carlos Correa, a young guy. You start thinking... looking at the Red Sox, obviously, people expect this offense to be much better. The Blue Jays with all of their boppers in the lineup. But, you know, I go back and forth of who is a true MVP. Mike Trout will stand out, but what kind of lineup does he have? You know, I like a lot this season when I look at the MVP race. I like Eric Hosmer with the Royals. Now, he's not the superstar. He's been a guy that's been on the rise for the Royals for a couple years now. He's shown that he can be that 100 RBI guy. He wins gold gloves at first base. He runs the bases well. He does everything well, everything you want in an MVP. I think this could be the year he breaks out for 25 to 30 home runs. He drives in 110 runs. And again, we talk about the situation players are in. There's not a better situation as an offensive player in the American League to be in that Royals lineup.
Okay, MVP predictions. What about Cy Young predictions? Obviously, at the forefront of my mind is our very own right here in Houston, and that is Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, that's who I put down there. You know, it's a lot of people are going to think Chris Sale, David Price, Chris Archer, Sonny Gray. There's a lot of guys could contend. And maybe I'm being biased because I'm able to watch Keuchel on a daily basis when he's able to pitch, but this guy, there is not a pitcher I've seen in recent years that understands pitching quite like Keuchel does. We see guys who have great stuff and maybe know how to pitch a little bit. We see guys that don't have so great stuff, but they really know how to pitch. It's hard to find a combination of both. Keuchel's stuff isn't the best. He's not going to be a first-round pick if you put him in a redraft. I mean, if you're just to look purely at his stuff at an open tryout, people aren't going to pick him up right away. But it's a lot better than what people think. The control is as good as you're going to find, and his mentality on the mound. I like him to go out and win another Cy Young this year. Again, a big portion of that is the team you're with. I think he's going to have opportunities to win a lot of games with the run support. I think the bullpen's improved in Houston. I feel like this is an awesome opportunity for Keuchel to do it again. You head over to the National League, it's as easy as it gets. Let's just put Clayton Kershaw down for another Cy Young. Because
pencil him in.
Yeah. Zach Greinke, he had a phenomenal year last year, a historical year. He goes to Arizona. I would predict him to do two in a row. I think he's going to have a very good year. Madison Bumgarner will be up there. Adam Wainwright tries to come back from injury. You'll have your usual list of candidates. Clayton Kershaw, always the best regular season pitcher.
Okay, let's back up just a moment. Let's talk about the Houston Astros. Dallas Keuchel obviously morphed into a Cy Young Award winner. Whose year in this 2016 season, is it going to be George Springer that's going to break out?
George Springer would be the ideal candidate. You would think him or Carlos Gomez would need to have breakout years for the Astros. And Gomez has done it before, so I wouldn't say it's a breakout. You would just need him to get back to maybe what he was a couple years ago with the Brewers. These types of guys, they can put up 20-20 seasons. They could drive in, you know, 80 to 100 runs. They could be guys, you bat second, you bat leadoff, you bat in fourth, you bat in fifth. These types of hitters are all-purpose hitters, so you love to have them on your team. The tough thing for both of them is don't crash into walls and stay healthy. So that can be easier said than done with the way they play. They play a reckless style of baseball. It's the way you would want any player to play. You just always cross your fingers they're not going to hurt themselves out there. So George Springer, Carlos Gomez, I think that really lengthens the Astros' order when these guys are producing.
Okay, so make a bold prediction. Who's going to be in your World Series?
Well, I go with the Giants. It's an even year, so that's an easy that's an easy one to take from the National League. I really like the complete effort that they've put onto this team now with Cueto, Samardzija. If you ever get Matt Cain throwing again, Madison Bumgarner is as good of an ace as you're going to find anywhere. An offense that has depth. This team looks good to me on paper. I like them as the most balanced team you're going to find anywhere. I look at the Astros in the American League. I'm trying to not be too much of a homer, but then I also think, who's really good in the American League? And it's the Royals or it's the Astros? They're the only two teams, in my opinion, as of right now, that could make a World Series run. And it's more fun to pick a new team rather than pick the Royals again. So I'm going with the Astros. You look at both of these teams, depth everywhere. Royals have a deeper offense. Astros have more power. Royals have a deeper bullpen. Astros have better starting pitching. But you look at all of their categories, you don't see gaping holes any single place you look with these teams, and they only seem to be getting better with their young players. I feel like if everything plays out like I think it will, they're going to be the class of what you're going to see in the American League. Teams like the Mariners, teams like the Rangers, you know, they could be some outside contenders. I really, though, look at the Royals and Astros as by far the most complete teams in the American League.
That, of course, was Andy Pondillo from YSR with our 2016 preview. It is time to thank all of our amazing guests in our lineup. Nancy Lieberman, assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings. Bill Rosinski of PGA Tour Radio. Lee Klein, CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp. Kevin Harlan, TNT. And Freddie Coleman from ESPN. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Biggie Sports Show.
That's what he looks like. He's the dog on the hump in the back seat.
I make more than Murray does.
The Steve Zabin Show. Mornings.
6 to 10 Eastern.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
Have you ever been turned down because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. Just call us at Parkview Credit today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they can finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming.